Hi, my beautiful people. This is Bimi Shavery, and I am here with your daily devotion. We are on day 28. I am so excited for us to be here. We have been coming a very long way, and I'm so proud of so many of you. You guys have been emailing me, sending me DMs, letting me know the journey that you've taken throughout this almost 30 days. And I can't even tell you how incredible it feels to know that God has really aligned us in the way that He has. I'm so grateful for everything that has been coming into fruition, not only for myself, but for you guys. You guys, this continues to grow. It continues to expand. I can't believe we're already close to 30 days. It was only supposed to be 15, but at 30 days, we're going to close it off and then give ourselves moment to continue in the energy of it, right? We're not going to distract. I'm still going to do daily devotions, but I'll be sharing different episodes as well to help us as we're navigating things that are going on, as we are integrating all of the fruit that God is blessing us with as we are navigating through preparing for spring. I'm so excited. I'm so grateful. God is so very good. And I just want you guys to sit in that and know that, okay? If you are new here, welcome, 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 welcome. I don't know how you heard about me, but I'm so glad that you have. And I hope that you find something here that provides you a bit of clarity, understanding, support, gives you a bit of understanding of self, and also leads you deeper into your connection with God and who it is that you view as your ultimate source. Whatever you may call Him, this is not a religious space, but this is a very spiritually guided space where, for me, God is everything. And that's just that. I come from a background. I study a lot of religions. I've always been that person. I grew up in a very diverse home. My grandmother, Baptist, my mother and aunt, which are my grandmother's children, went to Catholic school. My dad was Church of Christ. You know, my first husband was Kojic, which is Church of God in Christ. And then he went into a form of Islam. So it's just a lot of different things. Even 5%. I have gone and I've researched, I've lived out, I've actually been a part of communities. And so my understanding of religion and my application of it is very diverse and very, very, very different. But at the end of the day, my belief is God. And when I pray, I say, thank you, Jesus. You know, so it isn't here to isolate anyone. Whatever it is that you believe in, as long as it makes you better, it makes you a better human being. It provides you a bit of reassurance that you're not in this thing called life alone. It leads you to do great things, be a great human being. Then I say, please continue on that journey. For all of you who have been part of the tribe, you've been a part of the support, you've been here as a contributor, you've been here as a vessel, you have been here to help as we've navigated through this thing called life together. We've been here going on 6 years, and I'm so grateful for you guys. I'm so grateful for the love. I'm so grateful for the dedication and the discipline, and I don't take it lightly. I know that God is all over it. So I thank you guys. I'm so proud of your growth. I'm proud of your ability to withstand everything that you have grown through as well. So I love you guys, and I am excited about this particular episode. We are on day 28 of our fast. And while I'm happy about every episode, it seems I really am, this particular episode is very, 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 very fruitful. And it means it when I was doing my pre-op work, where I meditate, of course, I pray, and I'm going through reading through the Bible. I'm trying to figure out what I'm led to. And as I'm reading, that's how I get, okay, this is what needs to be discussed, depending on what it is that I'm feeling or whatever's happening, right? And right now, it appears we're at this place, right? There's so many things happening. We have so many blessings that are occurring. We have so many opportunities that are showing up. In the midst of also having to balance and deal with the transitions and changes that are happening in life, the things that are causing us to be afflicted, the things that are causing us to feel as if we are not aligned with God the way we're needing to be aligned, Maybe we're battling with ourselves. Maybe we're battling with people. Maybe we're feeling a bit of all of the things that we are having to release, and the pressure of it all is mounting. However, we're also able to see the budding of the work that we've been putting in, the prayers, the fasting, the devotion, the consistency is what is paying off. And even that at times can feel like a burden because of all of the blessings that you're forced to stand in, which you're grateful for, but it also can give you a sense of isolation and a sense of feeling like, should I even celebrate this when everyone else is going through what they're dealing with and everyone else is experiencing life differently? How do I be happy about the blessings in my life when it seems so frugal, according to or comparing to what other people are dealing with around the world? And my response would be to you, is those feelings are very normal. It doesn't mean that you are going to be ecstatic outwardly because you know you're being blessed, but it is a obligation for you to stand in gratitude for everything God is doing in your life. And no matter how it looks to other people, it doesn't make you selfish. It doesn't make you self-centered. Now, unless you're going around bragging and throwing stuff in people's face and, you know, rejoicing in their downfall or their misfortune, you should be happy. You should be looking at it as if you are the example of what God is doing, because if you're connected with people who are growing through things right now and God is blessing you in the midst of your growing through things, and that means they're connected to you as well, which means that their blessings are on the way, which means that they are in alignment with where they're needing to be to see that it's possible and to see that they too can get to where it is that they are receiving that of which they're praying for. But there are sacrifices that they've had, they're needing to make. There are sacrifices you've made. There are sacrifices you continue to make. There are moments where you're having to really sit in the reality of there are some things that you have had to give up so that you're able to really be focused on what it is that you're asking God for. And that has taken a sense of discipline. That has taken a sense of hard work and dedication. It's taken you further than you would even have thought, because 28 days ago, you didn't feel this way. You were hopeful, but you didn't have any proof. You just wanted to step out on faith. And that is where we are. That is why you are stepping out on faith. That is why you're remaining consistent. That is why you are allowing yourself to remain consistent, because you truly, truly believe in what it is that God is doing in your life. And so that's nothing to be ashamed of. It's nothing for you to be afraid of. It's nothing for you to run from. As a matter of fact, you shouldn't. So as I'm thinking about these things and I'm sitting in like, wow, looks can be very deceiving, because you can think on the surface that someone is living a great life. They're happy. They're ecstatic, and inside they're suffering. But then you also can look at people and look and think and assume that they're not having the best time in life at this moment, but they're actually flourishing and feel amazing inside. So you can't really judge things by what it appears to be. And oftentimes we get into this space where we are even imposters to ourselves. Right. We don't know how to step into the honest truth of who we are and what we want and what we deserve and what it is that we're asking, praying and fasting or devoting so much time into. And it forces us to be in a bit of a tug of war within ourselves. And I say that because the word phrase that comes up for me is depersonalized identity. And when something is depersonalized, it isn't personal. It isn't something that is, it was something that was in the state of being personalized, but a disconnect occurred which detached it. And when you think about that, you think about the fact that, wow, like I once felt very deeply rooted and connected to who I am. I once felt very deeply rooted to that of what I am praying and asking for. However, something detached, something disconnected me from myself. Right? It's like I'm not connected to myself. And when I put depersonalized identity together, it really did something to me, because what it says is you have been disconnected from how you see yourself. You do not feel connected to the blessings. You don't feel connected to the notoriety. You don't feel connected to, in a personal way. You know, you could be connected to something from the outside as a third party, right? You're in a third person looking at someone's success. You're connected, but it isn't personal. When it's personal, you feel that thing. That's yours. You actually feel the elation or the pain of, or the sadness of, whatever is lost or gained. And so when we're thinking about depersonalized identity, it's as if you don't even feel deeply connected to yourself, because for so long your identity has been split. There's been this version of you that feels worthy, feels deserving, feels accomplished, feels successful, feels happy and blessed. Then there's this other side of you that feels resentful, feels bitter, feels outcast, and feels isolated, feels undeserving, unwanted, unloved, unsupported. And that is a true identity crisis. It causes you to be at conflict on the core level, on a soul level. And when we're speaking about ourselves, it's very destabilizing to not be able to personalize that, to not be able to feel that, know what that is from a first person. It's almost like you have disassociated yourself from the possibilities of actually having that of which you want and that of which you deserve and that of which you've earned, because that is what your story has been so long. When we think about the side of feeling worthy enough, right? Why? We have a choice every day, right? And it brings me to my first comparison, which is the tree of life versus the tree of knowledge. Okay, God created the tree of life and the tree of knowledge. So both of them are rooted in what God intended it to be. So even if it's one that's a bit more complex, a bit more, I really didn't want you to even go through that. I really didn't want you to see that there's still a blessing in both. There are still lessons in both. There's still obstacle courses of both. And we stand at a space where we see both, we have both options, and we make a choice. That's the free will. You have a choice to make. Now, when you're born, right, you're not choosing to be born. Your parents did that. Now, what happens after you're born is still the responsibility of that of which that has birthed you. But once you reach a certain age where you're able to make decisions, you're able to make choices, you're able to say, I'm going to do this or I'm not going to do this, that's right, that's wrong, you are now picking from your own fruit. You are now sowing your own seeds. You are now making a decision between the tree of life or the tree of knowledge. And in so many ways, in so many cases, the tree of knowledge is so necessary, because you have to understand the depths and the intricacies of being a human. But in a spiritual way, it can also be debilitating, because you know too much. And therefore, you're restricted because your mind won't allow your spirit to really experience life the way that it's supposed to, with the fruit of the labor, the bliss, the happiness, the joy, and all of that, because that is an option. But once you make certain decisions, now it's embedded in you. It's embedded in you, the choices. It's embedded in you, the situations and the pain and the discomfort and the hurt and the rejection and the abandonment and the fear. And even though you're working effortlessly to get yourself out of these situations, it all goes back to the foundation, which is the choice. Sometimes we cannot unchoose something. Sometimes we just have to stick to that path because that's the trajectory now. However, you always have an option on how you continue forward. So for a lot of us, we're in this space where now we're finally receiving the things we've prayed for. We're finally receiving the favor. We're finally beginning to believe that life is beautiful, even when there are serpents around. Life can still be blissful. I can still have joy. I can still have any pick of the best fruit I want. I can still live in the best communities that I choose. I can still work at any career that I put the work into working into. I can still, right? I can still have a fruitful relationship. I can still be loved the right way. I can still love the right way. I can still invest and contribute and be a great friend and be a great mother, be a great father, be a great sister, friend. I can still be those things despite there being serpents around. Understanding that serpents are around is a big deal, and it's necessary, and it's important. And it's something that we have to also understand, that we don't have to take that, knowing that serpents are around, as something that is automatically an attack on the spirit of the possibilities that you can have a life that is not filled with serpents. You don't have to take on what it is that you are around. You don't have to become the environment. You don't have to engage in the environment. You don't have to indulge in the environment. But the thing happens, the problem occurs when we choose to partake. And during that time, we lose a bit of ourselves. We lose a bit of ourselves. We become afraid of the possibilities of there being other things within us that will propel us ahead of where we are. We fear success. Yes, that is a thing. People fear success because the more you succeed, the happier you get, the more established you become, the more stable you become, the more emotionally well you become, the more mentally astute you become, the more intelligent you become, the more affluent you become within yourself. It detaches you from those that are not. It detaches you from people who don't want to see you win. It detaches you from that of which that has become so familiar for you. It detaches you on a very, 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 very deep level. And so even when you are at a peak in your life, you are finally receiving some accolades, you're finally getting grace, you're finally getting favor, you're finally walking in your light, you're finally feeling and being in a relationship that is healthy, you are finally reaping the fruit. There's still a part of you that doesn't feel connected there because you've depersonalized yourself from the work that you've invested in. You've depersonalized yourself from the person you were becoming, and your spirit has not rested in the newness of who you are now. Because at the root, you're still where it is that you've outgrown. You're still where it is where you never belonged in the first place. You're still at that place that was very toxic for you, that was very hurtful. It was very uncomfortable, but you are rooted there because that's where you had been for so long, and that's where you'd build familiarity. So as I was walking myself through that, because that alone was a very eye-opening, you know, way of me verbalizing and putting the tree of life with the knowledge of life, right? Then it led me to the Cain and Abel story. And oftentimes when we hear about Cain and Abel, it is referenced in jealousy. It is referenced in greed. It is referenced in bitterness. You know, oh, his brothers just hated him, so he killed him. But there's so much more depth to that, even though it is a whole different picture, right? It's a bigger picture at play. It's not that these were two brothers who just did not get along from the start. They worked together. They had a routine. They had a structure that was very successful, right? They had a partnership, even as brothers. The conflict came in when it's time to give an offering. It's time to show God your faith. It's time to show God how much you value what he has blessed you with. And the issue occurs when both people both give an offering. But the space in which you give it from is where the discord happened. You see, Cain also gave some of his fruit, but Abel gave pieces of his firstborn. One was a shepherd, and one was who actually did the soil. So he gave fat from the firstborn sheep to God as an offering. Whereas Cain gave some of the many fruit that he'd been able to harvest. Well, God is not concerned about the width, the length, the weight of what you've given me. He's concerned in which the way that you gave it. You didn't give faith first. You gave thinking you were going to look out for you first and give me what was left over. So when you think about you and you think about how the Cain and Abel story ends up, right? Ultimately, Cain ends up killing Abel out of jealousy because God is not honored. God literally disapproves of what it is that Cain offers you. It's like giving slops. You don't give me the slops. You give me what you know I deserve, right? And so in Genesis 4, it says, now Abel kept flocks and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord, but Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was angry and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. Now Cain said to his brother, let's go out to the field. And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Now, this is where the conflict gets really, really, really. Not only were you jealous, but you're really upset and mad at yourself because you did not do what it is that you knew was right. You went against what you knew was right. And because of that, you're not rewarded. Why would you be? But that's ego, right? That's the ego. It's like I'm bringing you something as if you should just accept whatever it is I'm offering. And so instead of just taking accountability and repenting or, you know, deciding to move differently, you're angry at, he's angry at Abel because Abel was on the receiving end of God's approval, but he worked for that. He did what was right. He deserved that, but it didn't matter. It didn't matter. So the hatred and the bitterness and the anger that was embedded in him led Cain to kill Abel. But not only did he just what he thought that's bad enough. But then you also go and you lie to God when he asks you, where is your brother? You lie and say you don't know. Are you your brother's keeper? Yeah, well, obviously, God knows what you've done. God knows what you've he knows. So he's asking you to see if you'll be honest. He's asking you to see. So not only did you deceive by giving less than what you should have given and given in a way that was not rewarding to God, you also lie to God, which means you are double cursed. Okay, so when we look at Genesis 4 and verse 10, the Lord said, "What have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out from the ground. Now you are under a curse and driven from the ground, which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it will no longer yield its crops for you. You will be a restless wanderer on earth." Cain says, "My punishment is more than I can bear. Today you are driving me from the land and I will be hidden from your presence. I will be a restless wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me." Now, although that isn't what happened, because God told him that's not true, why do you expect grace for something you've done? And you still haven't been honest. Never did Cain come clean. God had to tell him what he already knew. And so when we think about ourselves and we think about our relationship with self and our relationship with people, yes, a lot of us are dealing with our own rendition of Cain and Abel's. And it may not be blood relatives. It could be family. It could be friends. It could be people at your job. It can be strangers. It could be whatever. It could be, ideologies, whatever. It's something that's naturally repelling that spirit that you carry. And it has nothing to do with you. Cain's anger had nothing to do with anything that Abel did. Abel did the right thing. Abel did what Cain should have done, which was the right thing. He was angry at God for acknowledging the good in Abel, for favoring Abel. But that was no special treatment. That was reward for the work that he'd done, as reward for being obedient. And so a lot of us are in these situations where we're so focused on the Cain in our lives. We're so focused on not rattling up Cain, not making Cain upset, not being our full self, not speaking our truths, not showing up grateful, happy, excited, and proud and thankful for the blessings, because we don't want to upset the spirit of Cain around us. But the bigger issue and the bigger concern and the bigger fear should be disappointing God. If you are anchored by God and he's sending you somewhere, he's aligned you places, he has brought you through things, he has brought you out of this space that you've been in, you've overcome so much, how dare you decide, "I'm going to stay back here because I don't want to deal with people doubting that I'm worthy. I don't want to deal with the conflict that could come when I feel like I'm walking in rooms and people are talking about me, or I'm not getting the respect I deserve, or people don't want to talk to me, or I'm losing friends, or I'm losing family, or my relationship is in turmoil." Because you are living a lie within yourself because you're afraid of what people from the outside are going to say when God is propelling you forward. You are worried about who you used to be or what those people are going to say about your past, that you are not understanding how blessed you already are. When you have the favor of God, when you have the approval of God, no weapon is going to prosper, even if you physically go. Because even after Abel's death, he was still blessing everything about the soil he was planted in for generations after. So it isn't about what it looks like to other people. You have to have this laser focused energy, right? This laser focused spirit. But the biggest issue here isn't the physicality of a cane in your life. It's you. You are your own cane in your life. You are so afraid of losing yourself that you don't realize you've already lost you. You don't know how to welcome the good in your life. You don't know how to let go of the pain. You don't know how to step into gratitude for the blessings that you actually deserve, because you do not feel like you do. You don't see yourself the way that you have now become. You don't see yourself the way God sees you. You don't see how worthy you are. You don't see how valuable you are. You only see the mistakes. You only see the past. You only see the fact that you have been forced out of situations because your attitude was bad, or you've only been able to focus on the mistakes you've made. You've only been able to focus on the ways that you were not nurtured. You have not had compassion. You've projected onto other people, or you've been that emotional dumpster for others. You cannot see the transformation because you have been avoiding looking at yourself because it is unfamiliar territory. But the reason it's unfamiliar territory is because you're living in this space of illusion, because you've known so much, you've seen so much, you've experienced so much. And even though you physically and mentally should no longer be in that space, your spirit is still embedded there because it doesn't feel welcomed in the new space, but it cannot let go of the place that has been silently killing you for so long. Your cane has been you. Your cane has been you. It isn't that, oh, you know, the people hate me. Sometimes it's your own thoughts being projected onto other people, or the spirit that you really feel in yourself is being acted out in the bodies of other people. And sometimes you need to address yourself in another form. And you don't know how to do that because you cannot actually detach from the version of you that is no longer living. That version of you died when that relationship ended. That version of you died when that betrayal happened. That version of you died when you walked away from that job, when you left that city, when you created a new life, when you worked hard to get where you were, when you left that old lifestyle behind. That old you died then, but yet you are still stuck there in barren soil, even though you know nothing can grow there. Such as Cain, such as God told him, you are cursed from this place. Nothing you sow here will grow because of what you've done on this soil. But the grace of God allowed Cain to be able to produce elsewhere. And that's exactly what's happened. We've evolved, we've grown, we've expanded. Yes, we have bitten from the tree of knowledge. We have taken from the tree of knowledge, which looks like going down paths we knew we shouldn't have, being in relationships we knew we shouldn't, taking jobs we knew we were more worthy to be in other places. We were not supposed to be in those spaces, or we were rebelling against being in the spaces that did not fit a look that we wanted. So we missed the opportunity to be faithful to God so that he could bless us with more. You know, we've made those mistakes. We have done the things we shouldn't have done. We've said the things we shouldn't have said. We've done that. We did that. Now we've been positioned and elevated and evolved to another space, and you cannot detach from that. And that's where God is asking you. You're right here at the precipice of everything you've asked me for in this season, and I'm giving it to you, but you cannot show up fully for it. You cannot be honest and tell me how grateful you are for it. You cannot, and you're not willing to sacrifice anything else for it. So I cannot give you the full blessing that you deserve, because you don't even truly understand that you are not identifying that it's yours. You don't feel worthy of it. You don't know that you've actually earned this. This is not a pity. This is not because I just think you're cute. This is not because I think you're handsome. This is not because I think you just deserve the world because you are my favorite person's girl. No, this is, you have earned this. It is yours, but you can't show up here because you feel so resentful. You feel so bitter. You're still holding on to anger. You're still holding on to neglect. You're still hanging on to the life lifestyle that you should have outgrown. You cannot be in the places that I've already elevated you from. You cannot be in the space where you're lacking the courage to speak your truth. You cannot be in places that cripple your identity. You cannot be in places that feed into that part of you that I have elevated you from, because it's holding you back in a way that is going to cost you everything, including your life, in a spiritual sense, in a mental sense, in an emotional sense. You are willing to sacrifice it all because you cannot face yourself. It's the depersonalization of your identity. You don't recognize you anymore. You've outgrown you to the point of where I just don't know who I am. And I don't know how to accept who God is saying I should be. And this is where we get into this place and we're really, really, really in a awkward space, because we don't really know what to do here. It's almost like feeling like you're in purgatory. You don't know what to do from here. I don't know how to just be present in the blessings that I've earned. How did you earn it? You earned it by being obedient. You earned it by being disciplined. You earned it because you were fully committed and invested in what it was that God assigned you to. So you're having to be okay with releasing some things. You're having to be okay with the elevation. You're having to be okay with living in a space that you actually prayed for. You're sitting in the blessings you already have received, but you cannot fully accept them out of fear of facing yourself. So maybe for some of you, this means forgiving yourself so that you can release the hold it has on you. Being able to really accept that you've had lessons that you've had to grow through. You've had experiences that you've had to see so that you can be who you have become. And it's okay. Shame can't live there. Resentment can't live there. Bitterness can't live there. Negativity has to go. Self-inflicted abuse has to go. Neglecting yourself has to go. It isn't anyone else. Your cane is not another person. Your cane is not a place. Your cane is not a situation. Your cane lies in you. Because the minute you decide you need to let that go and you actually release it, you will see just how powerful God has made you. He's given you the power to release anything. He's given you the power to walk away from it all. He's given you the power to speak life into yourself. Instead, you stay silent because you don't understand how to articulate through that voice, or you don't say anything because you don't even recognize the voice. You can't articulate the language. Because when God elevates you, when God changes you, when God evolves you, you don't speak the same. You don't look the same. You don't carry yourself the same. You're not in that same space. You change. You change. And that's so beautiful. It's so amazing. And it's so necessary. You have to become one with who you are now. You've earned this. You've earned this. You've worked so hard. You've gotten to this place because of the work you've put in. You've gotten to this place because of who you are on a soul level. And God sees that. You selfishly hold yourself back. Now it's time to selflessly give God all the glory. Let him free you from yourself. Because this is what you've asked for. This is what you've wanted. This is what you've asked God to grant you. And now it's here and you're afraid. So we're going to go ahead and get into our prayer. And then we're going to read the daily devotion. I have not read it yet. I am hoping that it gives a bit of clarity to this particular episode, because it was so scattered as I was writing notes. It was so many things coming to me, but it was so many things that made so much sense, but it didn't feel like it went together. But it does. It does. Because there is this tree of life at your disposal. You've already been at the tree of knowledge. You've already been through those things. You've already seen those things. You've already experienced those things. You have reached a place where you already know what that has to offer you. But because you don't quite know what lies ahead, even though you see the beauty in it, you see the possibilities, you've prayed, you fasted, you believed for it, but it's right here. Now I'm standing right in front of it. And in order for me to jump into this tree of life, I have to walk away from everything I know. I have to walk away from the version of me I become very comfortable with. I have to walk away from the version of me that I became one with. I have to walk away from the people, places, and things I began to find everything that I am in. And now I have to walk into this new place, this new space, this new career, this new relationship, this new version of myself, this new city, this new everything. And it doesn't feel like home yet. That's because you haven't laid any roots there. It's new. So let's just move into the right direction so that we can reap everything we have asked God for. It is time. It is time. Okay. So let me go ahead and get into prayer, and then I'll read the daily devotion and we'll close out this episode. God, thank you so much for provision. Thank you for grace. Thank you for mercy. Thank you for blessing us with the ability to have options. We've already been through a lot of things. We've already seen so much. We've already encountered so much turmoil. And now that we're on the precipice of real peace and real joy and real opportunity and real abundance, we don't quite know how to walk into that, because something about it feels like it just can't be this easy. It can't be this easy for us to have the things that we deserve, because we have experienced things so hard in our past. And now we are here at the precipice of everything new. You renewing everything on every level, and we just don't quite know what to expect. So I'm coming to you now on behalf of everyone who may be confused and anyone who may be wondering, questioning, and hoping for clarity. I am coming to you with an open heart, an open mind, and a very, very, very vulnerable spirit, asking you to show real signs in those hearts, in those lives of those who are waiting for a sign from you, that this is the right way. This is their blessing. This is their opportunity, that this is the place, that this is the relationship, that this is the favor they've earned just by being obedient. Opening up to you with their full heart, speaking real life, being their authentic self, not presenting a representative to you, being all of themselves, flaws and all, fully barefoot and bare, open with you about their needs, about their fears, about their desires, about their wants, about everything, God. And because of that, you're blessing them tenfold. You're giving us everything we've asked for, but all we got to do is accept it. God, I don't know how to say how wonderful that is. Maybe because I have already come through so many things, but I know you're powerful enough to remind people of who you are and to warm them up to who it is that you have them to become. God, I asked you now to show them favor like never before. Give them the opportunity to show you one more time how deserving they know they are, not how deserving they believe they are. Let them give faith offerings. Let them speak life into everything that they've asked you for. Let them continue to walk effortlessly into the flow of the life that you have for them. I ask in your name, Jesus, that you grant every wish on the deserving hearts that have come to you barefoot and open. God, there were breakthroughs that are already happening, but there are so many breakthroughs that are at the precipice of really being hatched. But there's a fear. There's a fear that they may lose everything. There's a fear that they may lose everyone. There's a fear that they may not know how to identify themselves anymore. So they won't feel comfortable within themselves. But I ask you to send them a reminder that that just isn't so. They'll have everything they need. They'll have everyone they need. They'll have every person that is meant to be in their life right there with them in an abundant flow. Prosperity is theirs. Hope is theirs. Healing is theirs. Peace is theirs. Joy is theirs. Love is theirs. They just have to know they deserve that. So in your name, Jesus, will give you all the glory, honor, and praise. And I thank you in advance. Amen. Okay. I am reading from the Moments of Peace in the Presence of God morning and evening meditation book. And we're going to read. Okay. It is titled A Better Perspective. Love each other as brothers and sisters and honor others more than you do yourself. Romans 12 and 10. I entered their world and tried to experience things from their point of view. I've become just about every sort of servant there is in my attempts to lead those I've met into a God-saved life. 1 Corinthians 9 and 22. Are there people in your life with whom you have conflict? Do you have expectations of how they will react to you when you see them? Whether those expectations are positive or negative, your responsibility is to love those people and honor them above yourself. The Apostle Paul did so by trying to understand other people's points of view. He knew if he could see from their perspective, he could better represent Christ to them. Expect the best of those people when you see them today and give them the benefit of the doubt. Not only will you have a better perspective about them, you will better represent Christ. Dear God, help me to see things from other people's perspectives so that I can truly represent you well when I see them today. Amen. The path of life. It's the evening. You have shown me the path to life, and you make me glad by being near to me. Sitting at your right side, I will always be joyful. Psalm 16 and 11. My heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will dwell securely, for you will not abandon my soul. Psalm 16, 9 through 10. There's a big difference between those who make promises and those who actually keep them. There are many who guarantee that their product or belief system will bring you happiness in this life. Unfortunately, their solutions are only temporary. They disregard that your natural nature is eternal and fail to give you real contentment. But God not only gives you joy in this life, He actively preparing you for eternity. You can trust Him to show you the truly wonderful path of your future. God gives His promises forever, and He knows what will bring real peace and joy to your soul. Follow Him. You'll find the way lined with unending blessings. God, I confess that I sought temporary fixes for the hunger of my soul. Thank you for showing me the joyous path of everlasting life. Amen. Okay, I'm going to do something I have not done before. And I'm going to read another one for us. Just because I feel I have chills right now, and I guess that's what I need to do. And maybe this is one that you're needing to hear. It's titled, Paul, a Prisoner. I, Paul, am a prisoner for the sake of Christ. Philemon 1:1. We continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 1 and 3. Paul had been telling people about Jesus. This angered the religious leaders and they had him arrested. Undoubtedly, those who had been blessed by his ministry were heartbroken. What a shame that this great man had been imprisoned, prevented from doing God's work. Or was he? Paul did not waste the time God had given him as a prisoner. He wrote letters to encourage the churches. And those letters, now a vital, irreplaceable part of the New Testament, have encouraged churches and taught Christians throughout the ages. Paul's work was more meaningful than even he could have imagined. Remember that the next time you feel locked away, God has an eternal purpose for putting you where you are. Dear God, this morning I thank you that in every real and symbolic prison, you are still working out your wonderful will. Amen. The second is titled Exonerated. May my vindication come from you. May your eyes see what is right. Psalm 17:2. Your love is wonderful. By your power, you save those who trust you from their enemies. Psalm 17:7. Whether you're being intentionally destructive or just foolish, some people can make terrible decisions. Unfortunately, their choices can seriously harm your character. And you know that if you continue to associate with them, you'll be dishonoring God. When you're in such a situation, your only acceptable course of action will be to walk away. Of course, you'll wonder if the opposition you will face is worth it. Friend, just remember that your first responsibility is to God. If he shows you that leaving is the right thing to do, you have no reason to fear. God will make the justice of your choice known in due time. God, I'm scared, but I want to honor you. Please protect me and vindicate me. Please show me what I should do. Amen. I love you guys. I love you guys. I love you guys. Thank you so much for all of your love. Thank you for your support. Thank you so much for your continued devotion and discipline throughout this journey. I hope that this episode provides you clarity, peace, and gives you just a little bit of understanding of where you are in your journey and what you may be needing to do to fully receive everything you have been praying and asking for. I love you guys. I love you guys. I love you guys. Until our next episode, please be gentle with yourself and please be gentle with others. Bye.